Before I start, let's pray again. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here in our lives. We pray, Lord. We pray today that many people come to Jesus. Lord, that they will not wonder about other people, that they will lay any pride in the dust. And Lord, that they might humbly, joyfully acknowledge Christ now, today, as Lord, King, and unique Savior. Please, Lord, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit giving us wisdom, Lord, to understand your word and apply in our hearts. I need you, Lord. Forgive my sins. Forgive our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Today, I would like to talk to you about characteristics of faithfulness. We continue with Paul's introduction to the letter to the Romans. These opening words of the letter are often hurried over, but they should not be dismissed so quickly. The Apostle Paul was not one to waste his words. His words are carefully chosen and filled with meaning. So we have already seen that the letter was written by Paul, written to the believers to Rome, and written to explain to them the gospel that is focused in the Lord Jesus Christ. In these verses today, Paul exchanges greetings and expression of affection to the Romans. In doing so, Paul gives us some pictures of faithfulness, like a picture of a faithful church. Second, he reveals what a faithful leader's heart looks like. And the third, he also highlights the motivation of a faithful witness. My first point this morning is a picture of a faithful church. In verse 8, Paul said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Brothers and sisters, Paul speaks with admiration as he talks about to the Romans. He thanks God because their faith is being reported all over the world. Notice that what he doesn't say. Look, he doesn't say your large numbers are being reported of all the world. No. He doesn't say your social programs are being copied around the world. Or your broadcasts are being received by millions. No, nothing this. This is the kind of thing you might hear about a successful church today. You know that? There seems to be a simple gullibility in the mind of many. If it brings a crowd of people, it must be a work of God. But they think wrong. Hopefully, you see how shallow that is. Sporting events, concerts, and the trade show bring in crowds. That doesn't make these things a work of God. Just because a crowd gathers in a church building, that doesn't it itself make it a work of God either. Paul was not commend the Romans for superficial things. He said their faith was being reported all around the world. It was the nature of the belief. These people lived in Rome, which was the center of power in the world at that time. These Christians lived boldly with credibility and integrity. They stood tall in time of persecution, and they refused to compromise. Some of these same believing brothers and sisters in just a few years would be thrown to the lions. Remember? Some would even be dipped in wax and lit on fire by satanic Nero. You know the story. But these believers, Paul commands, were true followers. They were consistent and reflected the nature and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. This is the most important for me. So, the faithful church should be striving to magnify Christ. obey His instructions and be loving towards one another. A faithful church reveals a genuine faith. And in a world of pretenders, the genuine stands out. So, my first point was a picture of a faithful church. Now, my second point is the heart of a faithful believer. Now, talking about our heart. In verses 9 to 13, Paul shares what's on his heart, and in doing so, gives us clues as to the kind of a heart that faithful Christian leaders and teachers. Indeed, all Christians should have, me and you also. First of all, a love for God. Remember the last time? We are loved by God. Now, we love God. Paul says he served God with his whole heart. A faithful believer is not half-hearted in his work. He or she is passionate about the work God has given them to do. God wants you to serve and follow Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all strength, and all your motivation in life. But sadly, this is a rare occurrence. We often give our heart, all heart, to our professions, isn't it? To our families and our pastimes. But this is wrong. This is a sin. This is idolatry, brothers and sisters. But look, we find difficult to give our all to the Lord. It might be that you'd rather serve Him when it is convenient and when there is something to be gained. Isn't it? To be honest, Paul understood that if God is God, He deserves your very best, and He deserves it all the time. Second, a heart of intercession. Paul told the Romans that he prayed constantly and fervently, just in case the people thought Paul was simply speaking religious words, like, Okay? I will be praying for you. When in reality, you forget. He calls God as his witness to his faithfulness in intercession for them. Like today, Harlem, pray for many people, many things. You must pray. Paul understood that it is God who changes people's lives. It is the Lord who brings life and growth. Even though the Romans were known for their faith, it's true. Paul knew that, without God's help, even the most faithful person could fail. One of the best things the members of this church can do is pray. We must pray. You have to pray. We have so many things to pray, brothers and sisters. Even when you give your absolute best, you can't even begin to do what the Lord can do in someone's life just by Holy Spirit. It's a God's work. To be honest, I don't know how prayer works. You know? But I know one thing. It works. I know it does. We need to keep our pastors, leaders, missionaries, everyone here, in prayer. Don't forget this. Your family, your children, your grandchildren, your husband, your wife, your neighbor, your work, your boss. You know what I'm talking about. You must pray for all people to remain faithful to the Lord, and that his work is done in their lives. I would like urge, like Paul had been praying for the opportunity to visit Rome, but his prayers had not been answered. You know? When your prayers are not immediately answered, what do you feel? What you have done? It is important that you don't give up. Don't give up, please. There were many reasons for why that prayer wasn't answered. I'm talking about Apostle Paul, 3 times he asked God to relieve him. God said, no. Apostle Paul. One possible reason could have been wrong time. I don't know, but it's the wrong time. God could have been working and moving in different direction, or has an even better plan for you. That's why he said no, or maybe wait. Oh, you might not be the right person for that job or that moment. And God maybe prepare someone else for that. Remember James 4:3 tells us that we pray and don't receive because we ask wrong. We ask with selfish motives, wrong prayers. God no answer. It is because a spiritual battle is taking place. If you want to be a faithful servant of God, you must be a person of prayer. Every day, every month, constantly, prayer, prayer, and never give up. Third, a love for people. If you love your brother, you pray for him. Paul longed to be with these people. He couldn't wait to see them and meet them. You know? He was eager to get to Rome for what? What do you think? To see sights? Of course not. He was eager to be there in Rome, not to see the sights, but to meet the people. It is easy to forget that faithful leader or leadership is not about meetings, deadline, procedures. No, it's about the people. The people. You have to learn this now, early. Your Christian life. You can have a to-do list and get to work. And when someone stops by or call you on the phone, you might be a little irritated, isn't it? I know that. But remember, the Lord helps you realize that people are not an interruption. It's not. They are the work. Those interruptions are not a waste of time. They are the best investment of time. you can do. Fourth, a desire to serve. Remember, Paul, servant of Christ. All your heart is being in Christ. Paul wanted to be in Rome so he could enrich these people's lives. He said he wanted to impart to them some spiritual gift. He wanted to teach them and give himself to them. Paul was not seeking power. He was eager to serve our Lord. When I serve you, I am serving my Lord. Remember what he said? Whoever desires to become great, that's fine. You want to be great? Be great. But don't forget, among you shall be your servant. Remember? And whoever of you desire to be first shall be a slave. Do you want to be great? Be servant. Be slave. For even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, our Savior, did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Fifth or sixth, I can't remember now, but a deep regard for the gifts of others. Paul told to Romans that he expected them to be mutually encouraged. Like any good teacher, Paul recognized that he was also a learner. Paul had a humble heart and recognized the value of the people he served. That's why I like call you by your name. Do you know why I keep your name in my mind? Because when I ask you about your name, I have interest here in your life. That's why easy. Everyone, I know the name. Everyone. God knows you deeply. I told you about the picture of a faithful church. Second, the heart of a faithful believer. And now my last point is the motivation of a faithful witness. Verses 14 and 15, Paul said, I am a debtor both to Greeks and barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. You know, in season, in the out season, come to preach, I'm ready. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm obligated to that. That's why I'm ready. A faithful witness is motivated by a sense of obligation. Obligation. The word translated debtor in verse 14 means that when you discover God's grace and experience the transformation of the gospel, you sense an obligation to share the same message with others. God calls us for that. Everyone here. It's not only me. Everyone. We live in time when people try their best not to intrude. Look this. In each other's life. That makes it hard to do what Jesus taught us through his words. Imagine if someone you love so much was sleeping in a burning building. Wouldn't you make every effort to wake them up and get them out of the building? Of course, yes. Sure, he would. None of us would stop and say, well, it's not with nothing to me. I don't want to be or to intrude. He wouldn't say, stand back and say, well, it's the house and the guests. Just because it's on fire doesn't mean I have any right to wake up then. You don't do it. Of course not. It would be insane. Insane. Isn't it just as insane to withhold the truth of the gospel from those who are in danger of hell? Isn't it? They are in danger of hell. And the church stay in silence. I do not understand. A desire to reach anyone who will listen. Paul said that he was eager to preach the gospel to both Jews, Greeks, barbarians, wise, everyone. Do you know why? Because the gospel is not restricted by nationality and to the wise and the foolish. It's not restricted to a certain intellect of income level. Listen carefully to this. A beautiful story about an ordinary man. Like me and you. John Harper. Have you heard about him? John Harper. He understood this passion. He was a man born in Scotland at the end of 19th century. He came to Christ at an early age and he was determined to share the message of salvation. It's an amazing story. In 1911, he spent 3 months preaching at evangelistic service at Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. There was such a powerful response that he was asked to return to the next year for 3 months in April. Look what happens. Harper agreed. Initially, he was scheduled to sail on the Lusitania. But when his schedule changed, he had to take another ship. The Titanic. The night before the ship sank, Harper was seen leading a man to Christ on the deck. Not long after this, the Titanic collided with an iceberg and ripped a hole in the framework of the ship. In that chaos, while they were scattering and the lifeboats and the jackets, they discovered those were insufficient. Harper cried, "Let the women, children, and unsaved be put into the lifeboat." He took his life jacket and gave it to another man. At 2:20 a.m. on April 15, in 1912, the Titanic sank and Harper and many others were left stranded in the ice waters. One man in the water was sticking to a piece of wood. He saw Harper struggling in the water. Harper cried out, "Are you saved?" When the man answered, "No." Harper recited, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." The men did not respond and they lost the sight of each other. A few minutes later, a current brought them together again. Harper urged the man to place his trust in Jesus. Harper then slipped beneath the water and never to resurface. With his dying breath, he was calling people to faith in Christ. Brothers and sisters, the reason we know this story is because that man did put his trust in Christ. He was later rescued from the water by a lifeboat. John Harper understood the sense of obligation that he had to those who were perishing. He did not fear for himself because his destiny was certain. His concern was the life of others. Please let me draw two final conclusions. First, where is your faith? In bad, hard, or difficult time. Please, brothers and sisters, don't lose your heart. We need to encourage one another with things that mutually benefit us. For instance, how? Songs, prayers, breakfast, I heard, it's marvelous, isn't it? Lunch. Do not be afraid of anything. Anything. Impart the gifts God gave us gift, not for ourselves, never, always for His kingdom, for His church. This church needs you. I cannot, I would like, but I cannot play the piano. I can't. But you can. This church needs you, needs your prayers constantly, needs your faith, your service, needs your gift. Do not, please, 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 do not waste your life. Evaluate what you do constantly in your Christian life. For everyone here, from David until the oldest man or lady. Amen? Let's pray together again.